Radio. The transmission and reception of electromagnetic waves on radio frequency, especially those carrying sound messages, or the activity or industry of broadcasting sound programs to the public. Fanboy. A male fan, especially one who behaves in an obsessive or overexcited way.
This is the Radio Fanboy Podcast, and here's your host, Bevo.
We're heading up to Rockhampton and hanging out at Central Queensland's Triple M. Banksy and Pinky is the breakfast show there, and we're talking to the, well, one half of the show, Pinky. She joins me right now. Hello, Pinky.
Good morning, fanboy. How are you?
I'm going okay. I thought I'd get you on the podcast because, you know, we've been Facebook friends for over a year now, and I think it's time to find out what really lies behind Pinky, the breakfast announcer on Triple M in the Central Queensland region. You've been
it's
in radio for
a anniversary, hey?
Yeah, something like that. We haven't had a little thing pop up on Facebook, but I'm sure anytime soon it will.
Soon, I'm sure. Yeah.
Where did it all start for you, Pinky? Because you've been at Triple M for a few years now, haven't you?
5 years for Central Queensland now. Yeah, I've just finished the fifth year.
Wow, that means you're doing something right on radio because you know, these days it's pretty short lived if you're in the economic climate that it is regional radio. Where did it all start though for you?
I actually finished up doing a Bachelor of Arts majoring in Creative Arts, which is obviously a degree worth $1 million these days, on the Gold Coast in about 2002. And then in 2003, I started on the community switch at CFM there.
Oh, cool. So you're a Gold Coast chick.
RG Capital. I was Brisbane, and then I went to the Goldie because I loved going to the Goldie as a teenager, and then, yeah, moved there to do university. And then that's where my first radio job was. And learning a bit about promotions, had a friend doing breakfast radio at the time, Moira, who had also gone to uni with us, with Gailey. And then my partner at the time got a job offer to do breakfast radio for them in Gippsland.
Oh, wow, okay.
And we packed up and moved down there and went from there, basically. Very similar careers for a long time, actually.
So how did that work? Because you got a start in radio and then he got a start in radio and were you doing something else at the station at the time when he was on air?
Yeah. So I had a casual on-air role as well. So I was doing that and I was a promo car driver, becoming promotions manager, all that kind of jazz, and then eventually got my official breakfast radio start at Star FM in Mildura, and I went there for almost a year.
And who was your co-host there when you worked there?
Matt Mann, who is now still doing breakfast radio on the Heritage station there.
Oh, okay, cool. So what's it like waking up Mildura? What are your memories of waking up the people in Mildura? What's the main industry there? Is it fruit juice?
Is it fruit juice? Yeah, well, it is interesting because they do grow citrus,
yeah,
even though it's on the Murray River, and they have to have all this irrigation and it's actually very dry. So in terms of actually, you know, I guess like everywhere in Australia to an extent, we've kind of just built places and done farming even when it doesn't really suit the environment. But it was a really pretty town, and I would actually my ex-husband was living in Gippsland still. We had a home there. He had a job there. And I would commute every second weekend, fanboy. It was like a 7-hour trip and in my Beep Beep Barina. And so, yeah, it was quite the big year.
Wow, that sounds very testing.
Yeah, well, I ended up doing some work behind the scenes for radio stations in Melbourne, including SEN, MTR, the talkback station, which is no more, even Fox FM, some producing work there. And really, my heart is breakfast radio and, yeah, juggling family life, my ex-husband's career, my daughter. Eventually, I just went, you know, I've done 12 years in Victoria. I'm actually really depressed by the long winters. I really want to be back in Queensland. And this role came up. So I'm really thrilled to be in Central Queensland. It's a 7 to 8 hour drive back to visit my family as well. So been good to be back for sure.
And the name Pinky, where does that stem from? I'm guessing something to do with the colour of your hair, perhaps?
Yeah, look, good old university and fudge hair colour. Hair colouring's come a long way since then, but it was just a nickname. And I guess when you need to have, you need a nickname on air when you're doing the promo cars. And so at the time we just took that up. But to be completely honest, these days, if I was to email someone, I did have a couple of years outside of the industry, and if I emailed my old contacts with my name of Shannon, they didn't know who the hell they were talking to. So, you know, I've even been asked before if I would change my name. I'm like, I just can't now. Like, it's my brand. It's who I am, and I just have so many people in my life now that that's what they know me as. So, yeah.
A lot of people, when they start in radio, don't realise what a brand is all about until you start, you know, building that brand and all the rest of
it. Yeah, once it is one.
What's your ideas behind building a brand and building the personality that is you on air and what you're all about?
I don't know if it's been a conscious journey about building a brand, but I guess it's definitely what I love about Breakfast Radio is that I was doing theatre and acting at university. I did that for a bit of work for a few years. But the thing is, on radio, you're your own personality. You are you. You get to connect to everyday people. You talk to the mayors. You talk to people from all walks of life. You get to help fundraise for local charities. Then you get to completely dipshit stuff on air as well, you know, and have a massive laugh. Like, you get to do everything, and it's really dynamic. So that's why I just love it so much. And brand wise, I guess I've always been a bit of the class clown. I've been told I've got too much personality at times, but that's, you know, if you asked my mum, that's me. But I also am also not 100% like that all the time. So, yeah, building the brand, I guess, fun. And then I guess I want to try and absolutely get across to people the realness as well. And that comes from opening up about real life stories, about things that happen to you and sharing those moments as well.
One of the things that pops up a lot for you that I talk to other people about is you've got such a big heart. You're very community oriented. Mm. Is this something that's always been in your nature growing up as a young woman?
It's interesting that you've brought that up because I've probably at the age of 40 only just starting to realise that not everybody feels that way about the people or their community around them. And when I think back about that now, and I realise that when people are very selfish or just very concerned with themselves and they don't want to give to others, and that does just come very naturally to me. But I guess I did grow up in a family that my parents were both teachers, and they were always extending an extra hand to students or families. My mum volunteered for Breastfeeding Australia and would counsel mothers through the night. They were just always in amongst everything and community minded, and so was my grandmother. So I just think I was raised thinking that was normal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good background to come from, really, when you think about it. Those life skills certainly help you later in life, especially being a face on the local radio station and getting amongst the community. Have you found that has enhanced your opportunities to connect to community as a breakfast announcer?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, like I said, that's absolutely one of the reasons I love particularly regional breakfast radio. I obviously haven't done metro, but, you know, you're really encouraged to get into your community and get involved. And so that does come naturally. I guess sometimes you're like, you know, there's only so much you can do. So I can't do everything I'd like to do. I do have to be mindful of balance with the other roles I have in life. But, yeah, I also think over time you learn lessons about when you have to have boundaries as well, because like I said, not everybody is actually giving back. So you can end up kind of overextending yourself, I guess.
Another thing that pops up a lot for you is your cycling adventures. I think you had an accident not that long ago, which saw you off the bike for a little while. But you're known for riding up Mount Archer, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, Mount Archer. I got to do that a couple of years ago. Yeah, I had a lower back injury, and I still actually am working through that. It's been going on for a few years, as I have learned as well. That's not something that just kind of gets sorted out in a matter of weeks. It's a long-term one, and it's quite a complex system, the old core and back muscles and everything all connected. But, yeah, I discovered road bike cycling about over 10 years ago now when I started doing triathlons, and I just love it. And there's just so many adventures I'd love to go on. But again, I guess once time moves on and I'm a bit freer of my parenting and other things, I'll be able to do more. Yeah.
How's the journey been as a single parent and being a breakfast radio host? Has that been quite challenging?
Yeah, look, initially, I guess now my daughter is, she's actually 12. And when I initially became a solo parent, she was 9. But my ex-husband did travel for work in the entertainment industry as well. So, you know, I had never kind of imagined a beige life, as we might say, fanboy. I didn't want it to be boring, and that's why we had got together. We were drawn to having that creative pursuit. So I was just all about us being able to chase our dreams and also make it work for our family as well. So I guess I had been a little bit more open to incorporating babysitters that become part of our family. So I would have someone there in the mornings, which was a paid job, just for the few hours before my daughter headed off to school. She's always been raised to be really quite independent as well, because I believe that's my role, is to make sure she's really, you know, well skilled before she goes out into the world. But these days, yeah, like there's that less anxiety or pressure, I guess, there because she is older. She actually gets her lunch made, gets herself sorted. We have a housemaid as well, which has that other adult presence in the mornings because I'm not around. Not that the housemaid needs to do anything. Yeah. She's just there. And then my daughter, again, with cycling, she gets herself to school on the bike. So now, yeah, it's pretty cruisy, actually. Yeah,
it sounds like you've really raised an independent daughter there that's going to have her own two strong legs to stand on later in life. So that's excellent. Well done.
Yeah, thank you.
Hey, let's talk about your co-host, Banksy. I don't know much about this bloke. He looks like a bit of a wannabe rock star. Is that how you describe him?
No, I wouldn't say wannabe, actually. Like, I mean, you could think that initially, but he does have a really great covers band. And when I eventually, got to see them, they're actually really tight. They do fantastic covers. I mean, you can see a lot of acts and you can see not great, you know, musical talent, and they're a great act. So yeah, he does that as well on certain weekends. But we actually, it's funny how, I guess it's a small industry, but we met back in about 2007 at a breakfast announcer boot camp, and he had a male co-host at the time. They were doing really great things as well. So we all got along great. It was around the Alex and Flack era as well. Yeah, so we ended up reconnecting when this job came up, and now we actually work together.
Cool. Is he? Would you call him like your work husband, I guess?
Well, you know, at the end of the day, yeah, it's a really tricky thing to explain to someone who's never actually done breakfast radio what the relationship is like, but it's like a forced marriage. But at the same time, like, yeah, I've had major, like, yeah, my marriage ended after I moved to Rockhampton, and I've gone through quite a lot of transformation, actually, which you don't see coming whilst working here, and he's been right here, you know, supporting me the whole way through it. Yeah, so we end up being like having that very, very close partnership for sure.
So being together for, 5 years now, has it been a few downs as well as the ups, like a few disagreements over the years?
Possibly not outright disagreements between us. I think actually when it comes to supporting each other, we've been really good at that. Probably more sometimes it's the peripheral stuff that can get a bit tricky, or, you know, having management changes and things like that. But no, actually, we're the same generation as well. So we're into the same music. We also realised we'd both been to a Smashing Pumpkins concert back when we were in high school, living in different parts of Queensland, of course. So, yeah, we do have a lot in common. But, yeah, sometimes if I could kick him under the desk, yeah, I would. But I just verbally do it. So
yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
It does happen. You've been together a long time, so you know, you've got that tight relationship. Of course, it's going to happen.
Yeah, well, we do have like expectations, and we are of the same generation of radio. So we do, you know, if things are going a bit pear-shaped, we can, you know, give each other a kick and go, hey, mate, you know better than that.
Living in central Queensland, what are your favourite things about living in the central part of our state?
Well, the funny thing was, as I said, I grew up southeast Queensland, Brisbane, and I met quite a few people at university on the Gold Coast who grew up in Rocky.
Is that right? Okay.
Yeah. So the thing was, I hadn't got this far north as a kid. We did a lot of road trips down south to visit family. So I hadn't actually been to Rocky yet, but I just felt like it was another home because, and you just knew about it so much from everybody. So it was really great to get up here. And like I said, I had really missed consistent sunshine living in Victoria.
Yeah.
So I was really stoked to be back in Queensland, although it is definitely hotter up here than down south. And what I think I love, one of the biggest things I love about CQ is the outdoors.
Yep.
There's just so many amazing adventures you can go on your bike or on a boat. And that's the thing, when people do have the little inevitable regional town whinge about nothing to do, I just look around and think, oh, there's so many cool things that we get to do all the time. And I think I love that. And everyone drives a four-wheel drive because everyone's out and about doing that. They're not driving the four-wheel drive in the city, fanboy. Mm. They're driving it where they go and use it on the weekends.
And nonetheless, you would have made friends with the guys Busby Maru there, being Rocky, being their hometown.
Yeah, absolutely. That was really great to have actually met them. So I had not been across their music. Obviously, everybody in the building was like, what? You've got to get across Busby Maru. And so I got here January 2016. So, yeah, I mean, I love Australian music, really passionate about that. So it was really delightful to meet them. Tom obviously lives down on the Gold Coast. Jeremy still calls Rockhampton home with his family. And, yeah, getting to know them because they would come in quite regularly for interviews and chats. And, yeah, it was really quite a pleasure to get to know them. And we got to go to Great Keppel Island for their album launch. I think it was 2017. So that's been a really nice perk, actually, for sure.
And also being in Rockhampton, it's the beef capital of Australia. Is it in your diet?
Yeah, you know, when I lived in Mildura, I was a vegetarian. And regional Australia, what year was that? 2007. You know, the meals on offer was just like mushroom risotto was about it. So it was actually really hard. And then once I got pregnant and had my daughter about 12 months after that role, I realized I really needed protein and actual meat in my diet once again. So yeah. I actually took it back on board because I felt the difference. So purely based on feeling and nutrition. So yeah, now I embrace a steak fanboy.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm all good with that. It's in my diet, yes.
So when it comes to steakhouses in town, where would be your choice to go to?
Well, at the moment, I would say Coco Brew. A mate of mine does own that business, but they do some incredible steaks and they're huge. Like you have to share them with a friend. So at the moment, that's our go-to place for sure.
And what's your favourite cut of meat? Are you a rump steak sort of girl, a sirloin?
Look, the small
tomahawk?
One. Medium rare, just a small one.
What is the small one called?
I don't know, 200 grams?
Okay. You're supposed to be an expert at this sort of stuff, Pinky. You're in the beef capital for 5 years.
I just live here, all right? I enjoy it, but it's not my obsession, no.
Pinky, thanks so much for joining us on the Radio Fanboy podcast. And it's the first time I've actually been called fanboy throughout the actual podcast.
Usually, oh, really?
It's usually just Bevo. But anyway, that's good. That's okay. You might be setting a trend here. Every other podcast, everyone's going to start calling me fanboy.
I am a trendsetter, so there we are.
Pinky from Triple M Central Queensland on the Radio Fanboy podcast.
The Radio Fanboy podcast, hosted by Bevo and produced by Matt Fulton Productions. Dan Hill speaking.